This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. Don't forget now, they've got the plumbing arm underneath that umbrella, so now you can take care of everything you need when it comes to residential, commercial, or industrial, when it comes to construction, heating and cooling, electrical, and now plumbing. Make sure you give them an opportunity for your business. My good friend Randy Green over at Innovated Companies, you can learn more about him at InnovatedCompanies.com. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. And again, get him involved early in the process. Save yourself some time, energy, and most importantly, money. Coming to you live from the patio studios. Happy to have everybody in today. We got our good friend Josh Potter in studio from Art City Media. What's going on, Josh?
What's going on, guys?
And, of course, on the M4byYachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Let's get this thing rolling.
No Steve-O today. Duty calls. We'll take it out of his pay. He always says, yeah, good luck. You can't take any more out of it. So I get where he's coming from. I think he just didn't want to come in today because, you know, what an awful weekend in Pittsburgh. I mean, let's just start there. You can't really start anywhere else. They had a game they were in complete control of on Friday night and just – I mean, quite frankly, to use a term, they just shit the bed. I mean, I don't know. You know, you can play the blame game all you want. The guys didn't get it done Friday night. That's it. Plain and simple. This isn't a loss on anybody. They just didn't get it done. It's pretty basic. I don't know any other way to say it. Just didn't get it done. Plays not made. It's just ridiculous. Upsetting. The other two losses don't bother me as much as Friday, so I'll start there. Benji, I know we were tweeting during the game. Your thoughts on the weekend as a whole?
Well, I don't. Obviously, you already covered it. You know, you already said it. It wasn't a pretty weekend. The thing I told you and I texted you was we can't lose these games, and all it sounds like we're gonna be perfect. That's not what I mean. I mean, these games are gonna happen once in a while, but really these are game changers. And you saw what happened after those two games. And everybody's gonna be asking, oh, but the other two games are different. Why are they gonna be? No, it's not about that. The game is the same or different. It's about that the momentum. It's about the. You know, you're winning 5-2, and all of a sudden they tie the game. They end up winning. I mean, the moral, the fire there. I mean, it's already put away. Instead of having a great, you know, like seven games, all of a sudden you lose this game, and look at what happened. You lost the next two. I'm not saying they lost the next two because of it, but I tell you what, I played, and I know when those games happen, they take some away from you, man. It shouldn't, but it does. It really does. And look at what happened. I mean, it's really hard. It was really hard to watch this weekend. I think they have the fight in them. I think they're going to be okay. I think they these 2 days off, it's going to help.
Yeah, I, you know, and again, you look at that, and the only thing, you know, and again, you know, I giving some love to the haters out there, I guess, if that's what we're doing. You know, you look at the excuses for that game, and the number one thing that's going to come to everybody to the forefront of the game is, you know, it appears that we've, you know, and we're going to talk about this. It appears that $14 million means you're going to be the closer when you're ready. And, you know, and quite frankly, to be honest with everybody, you know, Holland's been pretty good his last few outings and looked to be back to form. And, you know, I don't know that I had a problem with him. You know, I guess in a perfect world, if Holland's your closer and Norris, the way he's pitches, is your eighth inning guy, I mean, you would think that would be pretty good the way it's been going. And Holland basically just comes in. Now, again, he gives it up. He doesn't get once again, we get a play not made by Jose Martinez. It could have changed the inning. Who knows? But in the end, he didn't look sharp. I'll tell you that. I don't care if that play gets made. He's not fooling anybody, which at the end of the day is an issue. And I got to be honest with you. And I don't give a shit about missing spring training or not. I'm not that impressed with Holland. I'm blown away that this guy has, what's he got, 100 and something saves in 3 years?
Yeah.
I'm shocked. This guy does. I'm not, like, obviously you don't see him pitch much here in St. Louis, right? He pitched for Kansas City, and then he pitched for Colorado. You can't deny some of his results. I mean, he's like every other guy. He probably went through a patch or two where things weren't so great. But the reality of it is, I'm watching him going, how in the hell did this guy get people out? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not that impressed. And hey, this is coming from a guy that wanted him. Why did I want him? I wanted a proven closer. I don't know. I'm confused. To be quite honest, I am. I'm confused. This is the thing where you think you know shit and you don't know until you see it with your own eyes. And I'm sitting here going, I would love to know if this is what he looked like when he was closing games in Kansas City and Colorado. I have a hard time believing that that's all it was off-speed slider, off-speed slider.
No, his stuff, he was, I don't know, he threw more fastballs for strikes, so, and that's the number one thing is get ahead with the fastball, then play with this, or as a closer. I mean, his splitter, I mean, his mechanics just, I don't like that he falls all the way halfway to first base.
Well, yeah, but he's obviously done it, and it's obviously been.
Yeah, and it's been a thing, but now, I don't know. I don't know if that's why, obviously the mound's, well, aren't different, so I don't understand. I never liked the signing from the get-go. In the middle of the season, or in the middle of the off season, yeah, I was all for getting a closer, a surefire closer. But now, you know, I don't know if it's, I don't know. We signed Gregerson, we signed Norris, and I get it. Two older veteran, wily Coyote guys, you know. And then we have Hicks that's got 21 years old and is throwing just BBs. You know, we got all these guys that are – I just don't understand the Holland signing that late in the offseason, what, hours before the first game of the season? I don't understand it, and now, well, it's just looking like it's –
Well, I can help you understand it.
I don't.
Because the years came down to, hey, I just want to pitch this year, and it's 1 year, and I've said a million times over. Money they have. Yeah. They don't want to commit to years with the young arms. But here's the deal. Benji, I'm going to ask you this question. I know we're going to get into this more later, but before I go to, you know, to plug the show here, I'm going to ask you. I mean, he's been in 10 games this year now. That's spring training for a reliever. I mean, he's pitched enough now that he should be ready to go. I don't get it. I mean, is this who he is?
I don't think this is who he is. I think it's like Josh said. I think something has to be off with him. When you pitch in Colorado, when you pitch in Kansas City and you do what you do, you're facing good hitters. You're not. I mean, Kansas City plays the Central Division, man. That's Detroit. That's places like the White Sox. I mean, those are boom box and a lot of good hitters in that Central, Cleveland and all those guys. And then you go to Colorado, you face that division. And he was pitching good. I think something must be off, man. Something that's a Mike Maddux type deal. That's what we got Mike Maddux maybe to fix him up or something. But he doesn't look right to me, man. Like Josh said and you said it, he just don't look right. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a good help for us if he keeps doing this at all, man. I'd rather have somebody else that step up and step in, you know, in those innings, because for some reason, I don't know. I mean, I was one of those guys that, like Josh said, that in the middle of the off season, if you sign him, it's a great signing. But late in the season, obviously, it's proven that it's not right. Maybe another 2 weeks, maybe another 3 weeks, we're not having this conversation because he's back on track. He's closing games. He's doing great. He's doing what he does well. His fastball may be back, you know, a little harder, and the slider bites a little more. You never know, man. These things can change in a heartbeat, man, and so we hope so, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he again, I, you know, you don't know shit till you see it with your own eyes. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at stats. See, this is where, oh, boy, look at his stats, you know. you know, I say it as much as anybody, because here's the deal. Let's put it this way. For all the people out there that are like, well, yeah, you're right. Look at his stats. You know, he kind of fell off in the second half of last year and blah, blah, blah. So to those people, if I would have told you, you know, all the people that didn't want Bud Norris signed, now all of a sudden he's the second coming, right? That's number
and
one.
Everybody wants him now.
Yeah. And then number two, and I've said this since day one. I love Jordan Hicks. Who doesn't love Jordan Hicks?
Yeah.
Okay. But let's keep in mind that he is a young pitcher. Okay.
He came from A ball or double A.
Okay. So let's clear this up. I want to clear this up. Is it really cool that he's throwing a baseball like what I don't know. They keep what's he throwing, like the 8 hardest pitches of the year or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 8 out of like the
whatever
10.
It is, yeah. Right? Whatever. And that's awesome. I think that's phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
But make no mistake about it. There's a kid in Miami throwing 101. I mean, he's not that. I mean, he's getting knocked around. Okay. All these guys that throw 100 miles an hour get knocked around at some juncture. The fact that he doesn't have a high strikeout total is an issue. And if you think it's not an issue, then you don't know anything about baseball. Okay. What it means is he needs to know how to pitch. Okay. Major league hitters adjust to 100, 101 miles an hour. Okay. Do I think it's really cool that he throws 101 with sink and movement? Absolutely. But there's a reason why we're not striking out a bunch of people throwing 101 with sink and movement.
Called MLB.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a good start. That's for sure. But, you know, and again, he looks like he's going to be fantastic no matter what role they want. I mean, I think everybody.
He's going to be.
And everybody just assumes he's going to be a closer. Well, how do you know he's going to be a closer? He might be a starter. Who knows what he's going to be, right? So
the only thing that I have – yeah, and I agree. But the only issue I have is, you know, we talk about – or like you said, you know, not knowing how to pitch. I mean, you got Yachty behind the dish.
That's right.
How do you – I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. He doesn't know how to pitch. I don't know if it's like a confidence thing.
All Yachty can do is call pitches based on the situation and
oh, yeah, you still have to execute.
You got to execute the pitches, right? Listen, you can throw the ball through a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that if you throw 100 miles an hour and you throw it in the strike zone all the time, it's going to get knocked around. It just is.
I think Hicks threw him like 3 straight balls and then all of a sudden threw a 101, 102 right down the middle. And he hit it out to center. I mean, it flew out to center, but, stuff like that. It's going to happen.
I mean, the stuff is that. That's not an issue. And again, I'm not even saying I'm right. I'm just saying that guys that throw 101 and don't strike people out all the time with movement and sync, there's something there. You can't deny that. You can give me a bunch of bullshit if you want, but the reality of it is, you know, there's an issue, right? So anyway.
Let's go MLB, guys.
That's right.
It's MLB. There's nothing higher than our league.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Tony or Otani guy throws 101 miles an hour. He came from a phenom from Japan. Everybody thinks that. You know, he was going to do what he's doing hitting. I mean, he was going to hit not this good, but he was going to hit. And then pitching, everybody thought he was going to strike out everybody because he has a nasty split. He looks like a Nintendo pitcher. I mean, he has all these things that is great, and he's struggling. He is struggling throwing a 101. It's not easy. This is the highest league. There's nothing higher than this, and you have Jordan Hicks that comes from A-ball. high A ball. Okay, he made the jump, or double A, even double A. I mean, it's a big, big freaking difference from A ball to double A. I mean, from A ball to the big leagues, or double A to the big leagues. That's all that's happening right now. He's figuring it out. He's going to figure it out. He has the best catcher in the world helping him out. Is he struggling? Yeah, he might be struggling a little bit to strike out people. I get it. But he will, man. He will. He'll be fine. He's going to be great. You guys have to enjoy him. The only problem that we have that I think that we need to worry about is Holland, because he's not doing what he does. He's not pitching the way he's capable of. And he will. I really believe so. I know these games are hard for us fans to watch when he comes in because he's struggling. But I have a feeling he's going to pick it up. He's gonna find his way, and he's going to be great for us, man. These teams, I like this team, and I'm not gonna stop liking it just because of a few games, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely on your side. There's no way a guy with the history like Holland sits here and has this, you know, struggle last. I mean, maybe the rest well, it's the 30th, so. But, you know, it's not going to last long. I'm more worried about Lions.
Well, I'm Lions, listen, there's plenty to be worried about. But that's listen,
but I'm not jumping off shit.
Well, this is what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about struggles and how they're handled, right? Because I think there's people think there's just easy fixes, and they're just not. So we're going to talk about it today. Obviously, when you have the resource like we do with Benji, we're going to talk about struggling at the big leagues. You know, what do you do? So we're going to talk about that today, because we struggled. And we got to get it fixed, right? We were on a pretty good path. That being said, it hasn't been awful, you know, for the whole season. Everybody will say, "Well, yeah, it's only because of the Reds." I'm going to talk about that as well, because we got some stuff to cover here.
Don't you want those games now?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I got a great one for you here that we're going to talk about with that. So before we get to that part of the conversation, let's remind everybody: check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification letting you know when our shows are released. You can listen to back episodes if you'd like there as well. The main thing you can do at a website to help us, though, you know, if you are shopping at Amazon, which everybody's shopping at Amazon, do you guys see now that they'll deliver to your car?
Really?
Yes. Huh. If it's parked in a public place, I'm assuming you have to leave it open, maybe, they will deliver it to your car. So I think somebody told me the way this works is you leave your car open, they deliver it, and then you get a thing saying it's been delivered, and you can go out and lock your car.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's pretty interesting.
It's interesting, for sure.
For me.
anyway, found that interesting. But listen, the guy's like the richest guy in the world now, isn't he? Or he's one or two.
Oh, he's...
So people are shopping at Amazon. So if you're doing it, we'd appreciate it if you do it through twobirdsonabat.com. Click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything extra. We get a very small referral. It would mean a lot to us here at Two Birds on a Bat. Social media, that's our big play here. We enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with people, and I get fired up. Everybody gets fired up. Twitter's an easy way to release your frustration, anger, happiness, whatever, and however many characters it is in a short amount of time. Follow us on Twitter, @BirdsOnABatShow is where you'll find us there. If you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. It's the best way we know of to get the pulse of what, you know, the intense fans, right, wrong, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. Fan how you want to fan. We want to get a pulse on how you're fanning. So, again, follow us there. We're going to follow you back. Our big ask, though, is Facebook. Two Birds on a Bat. Type it in the search bar, like our Facebook page. You're not done. Click invite your friends. You can either invite all, or you can go through your list and invite everybody you know that's a Cardinal fan. Just so you know, Josh and I were just working on the contest for the Marcell Ozuna jersey that should be out. We should have this done hopefully by the end of the week. We got our big event at Patio's Friday. We'll probably start this contest next week. But it doesn't mean you can't get a head start, because it's all going to come down to how many of your mutual friends like Two Birds on a Bat as well as yourself. So start inviting people, telling people about the show, friend them on Facebook, do whatever you got to do, get them to like the page. You're going to have an opportunity to win a Marcell Ozuna jersey as well as other prizes. So Birds on a Bat is the Facebook group as well. You can join there. If you're a Cardinal fan, we'll accept you into that group. Two Birds on a Bat Show at Instagram. Happy to have you guys like us there as well. With the summer coming, we should and Benji being around, we should have some great picks. Hopefully he can share some neat stuff from inside the clubhouse with the show and things like that, so it should be good. lineupmedia.fm. If you guys haven't checked out Yo Radio, do it today. It's the newest internet radio station. I know you guys will love it. Simply go to the App Store, Google Yo Radio, download the app. It's free. Enjoy all the great music on there. Lots of stuff being announced. Lots of national people affiliating themselves now with Yo Radio. Should be a lot of new stuff coming soon. So you'll enjoy that. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Give them an opportunity. Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, the producers, thank you for all you guys do behind the scenes. We appreciate it. Special thanks again, of course, to InnovativeCompanies.com, our good friend Randy Green, our friends at Patio's. And I want to tell everybody, with this weather, okay, the weather has broke. If you're off this week, get down to Arlington Greens and see my man Mark Marcuso. You're going to want to get some golf in. The course looks great. The weather's great this week. Lots of tee times in that lunch hour. So if you want to get out of the office and go play nine holes, or you just want to take a fun day and hit it for 18, go down there and tell my man Mark Marcuso that the gang at Two Birds and a Bat sent you down. Love Mark. Love the course. I've been playing there since I was a kid. And, you know, what a fantastic job Mark and his staff do down at the Arlington Greens. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things that are going on with our St. Louis Cardinals. Number one, Benji, I brought up the Reds, and here's why. I saw a tweet today from somebody, okay? Guy says, and he had tweeted it at our friend Derek Gould, and he had basically said, the Cardinals are only 8-12 against games not including the Reds. So here's my point on that. The other teams are going to play the Reds that we're competing against, right? They
and
get to play them.
They've been moving to the Reds lately.
Well, and here's my point. So it isn't like we're the only team that gets to play the Reds. So guess what? When the Cubs play them and when the Pirates play them, when the Brewers play them, then sweep them. Go ahead. And then we'll all sit here and go and have a big laugh and go, look how bad they are. We all swept them. Now who's what, right? You got to play them. So as a baseball guy, does that mean I'm okay with the way we've played some of the other games? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. Our defense all the way around has not been great. We've had some nice plays. But listen, nobody's been immune to this. Our boy Tommy Pham's had a rough weekend defensively. Okay? Number one, he should have caught the ball in center field that he then made the error on. He should have caught the ball. That's number one. Now, listen, I'm not dogging Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham's been all that in a bag of chips for us. If you don't think so, he made a poor play, then he made another poor play yesterday. Okay? Jose Martinez, what are you going to do with him? All he does is hit for you, but he's brutal. He's brutal. Okay? Matt Carpenter's not great defensively. He's made errors. Matt's made some good plays, though. Listen, if you want to be honest and you want to say that was brutal, be honest, though, and say he's also made some really nice plays this year. Okay?
And he can also swing the bat.
Well, we don't know if Carpenter can swing the bat.
Yeah, not Carpenter.
Yeah.
I was talking about Jose.
I'm officially concerned. I've been concerned about Matt Carpenter. It's time for him to have a seat in my book. So we're going to talk about that later, too, because I started thinking about what to do with Matt Carpenter, and it made me think about what the fans want to do with Matt Carpenter. So I put out a little poll yesterday. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, Benji, getting back to this series, getting back to the Cardinals' play and some of their losses that, like you said, Friday night can't happen. Those are games you have to win if you really want to be good, right?
Yes, sir.
That game, number one, you can blame. Listen, Mike does shit all the time that I sit here and go, what are you doing? Okay. I did it yesterday. Okay. He did nothing wrong Friday night. He played it by the book. In fact, he gave him every opportunity to win that game. That was actually one of his better managerial decisions that he did. My question is, you know, can we keep making errors or plays not made and win baseball games, no matter who's hitting?
It could happen. The only problem is there are going to be games that we're going to have to play the defense part, and it's going to bite us in the butt. And I mean, we can't do it. It's not nobody has ever said anything against it. It's just like, it's crazy, man, to see these. But. What do we say on the other shows, man? What have we been saying on the other shows? You have to give in something because that's who we have, right? It's not. We don't have a Joey Votto that can play both positions. We can hit, he can catch. No, we don't have Pujols anymore. Well, guess what? We have Jose Martinez. He can reach. He's great hitting. And then the defense is average, and you have to deal with that. We have Carp, who can hit. His base running is a little, you know, good, but not great. And then the defense is not good, even though he's been doing a couple of great plays, but it's not great. So guess what? That's who we have, and we have to play. We have to do that. We don't have anybody else, you know, so we can change or anything. No, those games are going to happen, and we're going to have to get used to it, you know. Nobody likes those games when we lose like that for defense or something like that. Nobody does. But I tell you what, we got to get used to it because those are the kids we have, man. But let me tell you this, Jimbo. How many games so far we've been ahead after the fifth or sixth inning, like last year? How many? I want you to go look, maybe not right now, but I want you to go look and find out how many freaking games we have been up in the scoreboard after the fifth or sixth inning, and we ended up either tying and winning or tying and losing. That's what I want to know.
Well, here's my thing. I saw somebody tweet this today, too. Here's my observations. The bullpen needs more defined roles. So here's my thing on defined roles. You got to be really good consistently to get a defined role. Who's been consistent in the bullpen? Who would you say has been consistent? I'd say Bud Norris has been pretty good. Okay.
He's been the guy to show up.
Jordan Hicks, I would say, until the last couple outings, has been pretty good. Right? Other than that, you give me another guy who's been in the bullpen that has been really, really consistent. Now, you can talk about some of the performances you've gotten this week from the guys that came in and gave you three innings, okay? And for anybody that doesn't understand this out there, when a guy comes in and gives you three innings and they send him down, they're doing it because he gave you three innings. He's not available for 3 days, okay?
Exactly.
He's not available. So now now that arm is gone for 3 days, okay? That's why they do that, okay? So for anybody out there that thinks this guy did really, really well, why are they sending that? They're sending him down because they need bullpen arms. And the reality of it is, I hate to say this, but with this team, you never know how many innings you're going to get out of your starters. You just don't. If anybody can tell me for sure, would you bet your home that any of our starters are going to give you more than five innings?
You cannot have a guy in the bench, in the bullpen, that is not going to be able to pitch 3 days.
Now,
it doesn't happen.
Because all you need is two other guys to show up and go, I can't go today, Skip. Because now you got three guys that can't go. Okay? And for all the people that want to bring in a guy, and if he doesn't look right, they want to take him out. He just doesn't seem to have it today. Or he walks a guy and you want to take him out after one walk. Okay? I mean, you can't have it both ways. So that's why these guys went down. They didn't go down because they did anything wrong. They went down because they did a great job and helped us through a tough patch. Okay? Now, I will say this, and I have no problem saying this. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the Matt Bowman experiment needs to be over. Okay? Other guys have outpitched him to the point now where even being the guy that comes in and gives you an inning or the occasional more than an inning, plenty of guys have proven to be better than him. He needs to go. Okay? He's got to go, in my opinion. Okay? That being said, let's face it. Greg Holland, except for a couple of appearances, really has not been dominant. Tyler Lyons has been nothing short of awful. Dominic Leone has been as inconsistent as any reliever. Okay, one day he looks like, okay, this is the guy that we saw in Toronto. And then another day, let's put that flat pitch in our back pocket and not throw it anymore. You know, you tell me if I'm wrong. These are guys you were counting on. And they're Tyler Lyons was
We weren't counting. We are counting on them.
Tyler Lyons is a guy people were throwing around as closer, and he can't get anybody out.
It must be something wrong with him because I already saw a few outings of him, and I was watching him. That's not the Lyons we know, and something must be wrong, and he doesn't want to tell anybody. Of course, he can fish through it, but he's not helping. So something has to be wrong with his body or something like that. Well, we'll see.
Well, again, but so this is my point. So if you want defined roles in the bullpen, guys have to define themselves. I would say Leone has not defined himself. Lyons has definitely not defined himself. Holland hasn't defined himself. His contract has. And that's the business part of baseball that we as fans just don't want to accept. It's a reality, so get used to it. I would say this. If you want to, that's fine. The inner me says, quit bitching about it because it's not going away. But if you want to bitch about it, go ahead, I guess. But he's, you know.
No,
that,
but it's not going. That's what we have.
You know.
People need to understand that part of the game. The Cubs are not, they have who they have. They're not, they don't have Carlos Gonzalez. They don't have Syndergaard. They have Edwards. They have Stroh. They have, I mean, every team, they're fighting with who they have. So in this case, these kids are who we have. And if you're going to make a change, you better be better than what we have. If not, these are the guys who's going to be all year, and these are the guys who needs to step up. If you don't have guys to replace them with that are pitching well or better, this is the guys we have, Dimbo. I mean, this is just who we have.
Well, the bottom line is this. I would say, I would challenge anybody to tell me that Brebbia has not outpitched Bowman. I think he has. Mike Myers, it hasn't been a big sample size, but I like Myers better than Bowman. John Gant, up until recently, I don't think his relief numbers were that good, but I'll take him. Again, I said over a year ago, Matt Bowman's a Rule 5 pickup. Okay. Quit acting like Matt Bowman was the second coming and that we're ruining this guy. And he is Seth Maness part two. And quit feeling sorry for the guy that they bring him in all the time. His career is short-lived at best anyway. That's what he is, okay? Quit worrying about it. There are tons of guys, and there's a whole bunch right now that have pitched more than Matt Bowman, okay? So get over it. Nobody's ruining anybody here. This is their job. This is what they signed up for. I did, you know, if show me your doctor's degree, okay? Because you're wrong. I'm just telling you that right now. Number two, I got to have some guys up here that I can count on, that I can't put out there. And, you know, because listen, everybody just thinks Mike's like, oh, wow. Listen, you don't think he hands the ball to some of these guys because that's all he has and turns around and walks back to the dugout and goes, I have no idea who's going to show up today, but this is what I got. Now, I disagree every time he brings Bowman in because I don't like him. That's why I disagree with him, because I don't like him. I don't care.
Yeah, but he might be the only guy active right now for those innings.
That's right.
Like you just said.
You know, and I got no problem with it because ultimately at the end of the day, it's his ass on the line, not mine. So it's easy for me to sit on my couch and go, this is what I would do. And, you know, the reality of it is we never have the benefit of knowing that if they did what I wanted to do, if it would have worked or if it would have been the same outcome or maybe even worse. I have no idea. I also, as you said, and Dan McLaughlin pointed out and Jim Edmonds pointed out and Brad Thompson points out, all the guys that played the game point this out, and then the people that never played want to argue with them. Like I listened to Randy Carricker argue with Brad Thompson the other day when Brad goes, nobody's taking him out there. Oh, I would have done. No, you wouldn't. And he told him flat out. I heard him tell him, if you're going to get two guys up in the bullpen in the fourth inning, he goes, Brandy, you can't get guys up in the bullpen in the fourth inning when your guy's at 80 pitches and has retired eight in a row. You will have nobody left. He goes, I don't care how many guys you bring up and down from the minors. Nobody will be left. Okay, you can't do it. All right?
Don't you love that?
And I love when I love when those guys argue with these guys because they've watched a whole bunch of games and wrote about it. It irritates me. I don't even want to get into it. So anyway, the reality of it is, if you want defined roles in the bullpen, then the guys need to define themselves of who they are. Okay, so right now, and here's the other thing too that kills me. Everybody acts like because it's not going so well that Mike Matheny is ignoring Mike Maddox. I promise you that's not what's going on. Mike Maddox is probably as befuddled as anybody because he knows what he saw in spring training from some guys, and they're trying to figure out what they have.
Exactly.
So if anybody thinks, I guess people think that Mike Maddox is, because let's face it, if you really want to be critical, watch the game, pay attention to what's going on. Mike Maddox and Mike Matheny talk all the time in the dugout. Okay?
All the time.
So I guess people think Mike Maddox is going, I'd go to Brebbia here. And Mike's going, nope, I'm going with Bowman. That's not what's going on.
These guys, they decide all these, like I told you, they meet after the games in the night. They talk on the phone after the night, and they talk on the phone before they get to the stadium, or text, or they go and talk before the game is on. I'm telling you guys, that's what they do. And they go through the whole game. If this is happening, if Flaherty goes four innings, who do we have available? If Flaherty goes through five innings, who do we have available? If Flaherty goes through the six, in the 7, 8, and 9, who do we have available today to shut this game out? That's what they do every single day. So they discuss this place every day. If it doesn't work out, look at the player sometimes. You know, don't act like the manager goes out there and hit, or don't act like the manager go out there and defense, or the pitching coach. No, sometimes let's look at the player. He didn't do the job. I mean, there's nothing wrong. They'll tell you. The same players will tell you, hey, I'm sorry, I couldn't do this play. I couldn't make that play. I'm sorry, I need to make it better or something. They will tell you. They're not afraid. So sometimes it's the player too, you know, on the decisions to who comes in and who comes out and lineup and things like that. Then you can talk about Mike and all the coaching staff all you want, whatever. That's their biggest deal. But players playing out there, making errors, not pitching well, giving it up in the ninth. I don't think anybody has anything to do with that, only by ourselves, you know, like me as a player and whoever's out there giving it up. It's they'll tell you. I mean, I didn't do my job, and that's it.
Well, you know, and my thing is this, and I like thinking what I would do and what I've seen and thinking that I know enough about baseball to say this. And like I said, I've already mentioned it. Like, I really like Brebbia. I think I like what I see from Brebbia. Like, he's shown me enough that I think he's nasty. I like Brebbia. You know, I think I know enough to know that Jordan Hicks is special. I also know enough to know that I sat there like a lot of people going, man, why aren't his strikeout totals higher? What is it about him that these guys are putting wood on the ball, and in some cases, good wood? I mean, we've seen some loud outs against him, if you want to be realistic about it.
Well, lately he's been falling behind the counts, which allows the hitter to be on top of you. If he's ahead on the count, that fastball racing up give you the strikeouts, and that chasing slider give you strikeouts. So think about it. Whenever you see him pitch, if you see him falling behind, he has to come to the hitter. And the hitters are ready. Like I said, this is the MLB. So if you have to fall behind, if you do fall behind in the count, you're going to find hitters putting the wood on the ball, man. That's just how it is. It doesn't matter how hard you throw. But if you find yourself ahead in the count at some point, you're going to put people away. And he's probably pitching behind in the count lately. That's all it is. You'll see.
Yeah, I watch his stuff. Number one, I for over a year now have said I didn't like the Dexter Fowler signing. I have wanted to like Dexter Fowler. I thought he was fun. I thought he was engaging. He seems like a great guy. You know, he gets hot at times and gets rolling. There's just something about him that, to me, I'm just not a fan. You know, I'm impressed with Tommy Pham. You know, I'm happy for him. You can tell and see that Marcell Ozuna is going to be a big part of this thing before it's all over with. Shortstop, Paul DeJong. I'd like to see him be a little more consistent at the plate, but you can kind of see what we have here. I'm still impressed every day that I think he's getting better at shortstop. He's not going to win any gold gloves there. So anybody that thinks he's going to become a really good shortstop are probably not going to happen. Some of the plays that he doesn't make are going to continue because he's a third baseman, guys, playing shortstop. You know, I would say, you know, be happy with what you're getting out of him. And I think he's making all the routine plays. I have no issue with him whatsoever. Second base, the roller coaster that is Colton Wong exists. You can like Colton Wong. You can think Colton Wong gets the short end of the stick. You can think that Colton Wong deserves the same fate as Matt Carpenter. Well, that's not how baseball – see, once again, that's not how it works.
If you want to win championships, if you are like Tampa Bay or maybe Pittsburgh in these days where Pittsburgh, it's going to be a rebuilding team, or maybe anybody else that are low, yeah, you can survive like this. You can do this, what you're saying. You can give him the chance. You can, okay, go ahead. You know, we don't care. We're just developing guys, and we don't care. Yeah, that's okay. But we're trying to win championships. That's what we need to tell the fans out there. We're trying to win championships, and these things that are happening shouldn't happen, but it's part of the game. It shouldn't happen. The reason is because we're trying to win a freaking championship here. I'm not trying to go to the playoff. The hell with that. I'm trying to go to playoff and through it. That's what I'm trying to do in my head. And I bet you all these coaches and all these guys in there battling their butts and trainers trying to get these guys ready, they're not trying to go to playoff. They're trying to freaking beat the whole thing and trying to win it. And for us to win it, these things needs to change. These things needs to happen, you know? So that's the bottom line.
Well, and again, Colton Wong's one of the guys that I want, the real Colton Wong, because, I mean, God, he would help us immensely, right? Exactly. I don't have any reasoning.
Same with Carp, right?
Well, again, the thing with Carp that's here, the thing with Carp that's bugging me is, yeah, and I agree. I'm just over Carp, to be honest with you. I hate to say that. I'm over it. You know what? I always say I know enough to be dangerous. I just don't like it. I'm sorry. I watched him yesterday take another fastball in the inside corner on a 3-2 count. You know, I want a guy that can hit. I'm so tired of these damn walks. I'm over it. I really am. I'm over it. I can't.
Okay, let me tell you this, Jimbo. If for guys that are numbers wise,
yep.
numbers wise out there,
yep.
If you, in general, if you get 100 walks, that makes you happy. But if you get 85, 70 walks, and then you hit the 2-0 counts, and then you hit the 3-1 counts, and then you hit the 3-2 counts, you're going to help us more. That's what these kids need to understand. Why get 100 walks and you don't bring the guy in and good counts? Because he's got great counts. Not like 3-1 count. I mean, it's not like 1-2 count. He works the walk. That's great. But a 3-1 count, 2-0 count, 2-1 count, those are our counts to make damage. And all of a sudden, you don't do that because maybe in your head you try to work your walk or something. Dude, okay, you don't have 100, but you have 70. But guess what? Those other 30 at-bats, you help us
by hitting. You know what's funny?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you know what's funny? Did you guys notice last Thursday we did the show and we had the conversation? It was fun with Mo's algorithm about 2-0 counts. Did you notice that once, like, Noah Syndergaard was dominating the whole game, and late in the game he fell behind in a couple of accounts, 2-0, and they both rifled pitches on 2-0 for hits? Did you guys notice that?
I didn't.
It's the game I told you guys before. You ask 1,000 players older than Votto and Carp, and you ask 1,000 players, what would they do with men on second, two balls, no strikes? And all of them, I assure you, all of them will tell you, I'm swinging, man. I'm swinging. That's why you see those wild swings sometimes away from the plate. Why do you think they swing at that? And then you end up saying, wow, dang it, that ball right there, that's a ball, it's 2-0 count, be smarter. And hell with that, it's 2-0 count, I'm aggressive. And if he missed right down the middle, I'm walking it, man. I ain't no taking no walk because you're trying to help out a team. You know, if you can hold up on the ball, it's great. I'm talking about the ball in the middle, the ball middle in, the ball middle away. That's what I'm talking about, and we're taking it. No, that's our power count. That's the count to make damage. That's the count to put our team ahead 1-0, and now they have to score 2. That's all I'm saying.
I just thought it was interesting. I know we were tweeting back and forth, and a couple of the big hits that they got late in that game were on 2-0 count. It was pretty good. I just thought it was fun. And then
watch the game. Yeah. Other games, Jimbo. Watch other games.
Yeah, other teams. Yeah, don't even watch the Cardinals.
Arenado takes a 2-0 fastball. Do you think Blackmon takes 2-0 fastball? Do you think ask Myers, our pitcher? Do you think Pollock took that 2-0 fastball, 3-1 fastball he threw? And for home run? I don't think so, buddy. Just ask them. They'll tell you, our pitcher. Just tell our pitchers, hey, man, do you think they swing at a 2-0 fastball? They'll tell you. They'll say it.
Well, again, we're beating this dead horse, but it's time to talk about my Twitter poll. Adam Smokehouse, I'm excited about Adam Smokehouse being a part of our show. If you haven't checked him out, I highly encourage you do. I know we're anxiously anticipating our Adam Smokehouse day with my friend and yours, Benji Molina, because the Twitter poll says that you've got to try everything. So that's really
that's really
how it's going to go, you know. So again, don't forget our good friends at Adam Smokehouse, 2819 Watson Road, St. Louis, Missouri. Give them an opportunity for your business when it comes to barbecue. Lots of good barbecue places in town, folks, but I promise you won't be disappointed with Adam Smokehouse. We've been getting a lot of feedback from listeners saying, "Hey, don't forget this, don't forget that when you guys get over there." And I'm excited about doing the show, doing it live from there on Facebook and letting people kind of see what we give a try and talk to our good friend Mike over there. They've been very supportive, and we appreciate them. So let's talk now about that Twitter poll. And I did this on purpose. Somebody called me out on it because they knew what I was doing. So I'm frustrated with Carp. Everybody knows that, right? No problem. I get mad at Mike for putting him in the lineup, even though I'm smart enough to know that he's going to get keep putting in there because that's the business of baseball. It's also got a lot to do with the fact that when you're a manager, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, this is what they all do, folks. So I put out there, simple. What do you think Terry Francona would do with Carpenter if he were manager here? So I put keep riding him, in and out of the lineup, or hit the bench. Well, 40% of you said in and out of the lineup. 40% of you said hit the bench, and only 20% of you said keep riding him. Now, I did this because Terry Francona is the guy that everybody wanted here. They want him. And listen, Terry Francona is probably a great manager. I have no issue with Terry Francona, right? But people want what they want somebody to believe. They want who they think somebody is sometimes because they think he's the opposite of what you have and you don't like what you have. But I want to let people know something here. If you voted anything other than keep riding him, then you don't know anything about Terry Francona. Because I promise you, Terry Francona would continue to put Matt Carpenter in the lineup. He would put him in the lineup in the place where Matt Carpenter has done the best in his career and ride him until he came out of the slump. That's what he would do. And if you need any go Google Jason Kipnis. Just Google him, okay? Google Jason Kipnis. I don't even want to get into this with you, okay? Google Jason Kipnis because he's hitting 167 and has batted second all year long. Okay? I just want you to know that. Okay? He is hitting 267. He hit awful last year and batted second and played all last year except for when he was hurt. Okay? Which also a funny story about Jason Kipnis for those of you that don't know. Jason Kipnis is a really good second baseman. He's that scrappy second baseman type guy, right? But he's, let's face it, I think last year, I could be completely wrong, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, let me back this up here and I can give you Jason Kipnis' stats from last year so that we're not just talking about this year, because this year he's obviously doing poor, which is fine. There's lots of guys that have done poor, right? So let's see here. Last year, Jason Kipnis. Dun, 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 dun. 2017. Jason Kipnis hit .232. He had a .292 on base percentage. .291, folks. .232 with a .291 on base percentage. Oh, well, he must be a home run hitter. No. He had 12. Okay, 12 home runs. Plays a good second base. No complaints there. But he batted second all year long except for the time he was hurt. You guys know how he got hurt? Hurt his leg. He was out with a leg injury. Okay, playoffs rolled around, right? They had a young guy that had come up and was doing pretty well. So you know what the old Terry Francona did with Jason Kipnis when the playoffs started? He put him in center field. He had never played outfield before. In the playoffs, with a bad leg, and he went out and promptly hit like shit like he had done all year long. So I ask you, A, what would Terry Francona do with Matt Carpenter? And B, if you think for 1 minute that Terry Francona wouldn't have played Matt Adams in left field, you guys are out of your minds. Okay? Now, Terry Francona may be a much better tactical manager than Mike Matheny. I have no doubt that he probably is. But make no mistake about what these guys' ultimate goal is, okay, and what they have to do as managers. So I assure you, folks, Terry Francona would ride Mike Matheny like Secretariat until he either came out of the slump or played his way onto the DL. It's that simple. Benji, do you disagree?
No. No, that's what he would have done. He would have kept playing him like he did. You just give it the whole fans. You just give them the whole scoop. If they don't understand after you talked all that, they don't understand anything. They shouldn't even be talking. So, I mean, you explained it all clear. He was going to write him. He was going to get him. And that's what's going to happen here. You don't think it's going to change. You watch. It's gonna happen. He's going to keep writing him. He's going to play. He's got the contract, remember. He's going to play. And same with Wong. He's going to switch with Jericho and him. They're going to keep switching around. That's just what it is, guys. That's who we have. Fowler, he's going to play. He's our guy out there. They signed him for 5 years or so. He's going to play. Fam, he's going to play. He did it last year. They want him to do it again. He's hot. No complaints there. No, nothing. Ozuna, he's going to be fine. Ozuna is going to be electric, man. I'm telling you. This kid, his attitude and everything is great. He struggled, but because he was trying to do too much. I mean, it's a different struggle. But he was hitting the ball hard. He was just out. But he's going to be fine, man. This kid is going to be great. You guys are going to love him.
I love how excited he gets when he gets a big hit. I love how excited he gets. Did you see how excited he was when he beat out an infield hit? Did you see that? The way he ran past the bag and was. I love the guy. Josh, I got to ask you. I want you to be honest. I think when you got here today, you were on the other side of it. I think our conversation today about Francona opened your eyes a little bit. Would that be honest?
Yeah, absolutely.
You were kind of the other way, thinking, no way.
I thought he was a little bit, you know, harder headed and wasn't so much the manager that gets bossed around by his actual bosses. You know what I mean? I feel like Terry Francona is one of those guys, one of those managers, at least before today, that he goes into the organization, he goes into Cleveland, and he's the man. I don't know.
Well, here's my thing, though. I don't know that you're necessarily wrong. I think Terry Francona is like, look, Jason Kipnis is our guy. And we're going to stick with him when he struggles. Okay?
Because we're winning.
You know? We're going to stick with him. And listen, we don't like that as fans. We don't like that as fans because we're a what have you done for me lately. But these guys have to live with these guys every day. And we think it's so easy to just push them to the curb. I told you this morning, you brought up Dexter Fowler. And what did I tell you? And I think you kind of looked at me like I hadn't thought about that. Go ahead and bench Dexter Fowler 2 years into a 5-year deal. You think you got a hard time getting people to come to St. Louis now? Good luck, because you know.
Not only that, but if you have a guy that's helping you win, even if he's struggling, but he helps, the team is winning, the team has a good chemistry winning, they don't care if they hit 100. I'm telling you what, that's what we need to understand. If he hits 100 in September and the team is winning, he's still going to be in right field, I tell you. It's when we're losing that we're going to see all these things, like when we saw what we're seeing right now. It's what we lost three in a row, so everybody's looking for Carp. Everybody's looking for Martinez up first. Everybody's looking for all these Fowlers that he doesn't hit. I mean, that's easy when we're losing. But if you have a team like the Cleveland Indians for the last 3 years or maybe four where they win almost 100 games a year with Kipnis, hitting or not hitting, he's still going to be there. The manager's going to see that. They see that. My team is winning when his kid is in the lineup. I cannot get him out.
I was just about to say something about that. The Cardinals do not have the same lineup as the Cleveland friggin' Indians. They didn't last year. The Cleveland Indians have Jose Ramirez. They have Francisco Lindor, and I know, Jim, Lindor is doing awful.
Yeah,
so
we
far.
Talked about that.
Yeah, today too. I get it. But look at the lineups.
Yeah.
They are completely – the Cardinals, and this is what I said, and I kind of retracted after hearing the whole, I don't really want other guys.
How'd you like to be a manager and have a DH? How'd you like to be a manager and have a DH option? How'd you like to be a manager and have a DH option? If anybody that thinks it doesn't make it easier, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm saying is the Cardinals lineup is not the same as the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland can get away with having that's why they still win ball games, is because they can get away with it with their lineup having a 232 or whatever he batted last year at the top of the lineup. The Cardinals lineup cannot afford to have guys batting under 200. They just can't. And I get it. I get it, though. I get the business side of it, and I, you know, like Jim said, he enlightened me on another perspective, which that's what I said. It's all about the money. I don't disagree.
And what did I say to you? I didn't even say I agreed with what I was telling you. What did I tell you? Very simple. Yeah. Very simple. If Matt Carpenter makes $19 million, if that's what or maybe he makes 17, whatever he makes. If he makes $17 million, okay, and Judge Jerko makes five, right? And so combined, what do they make? I was told there'd be no math, but let's say it's $23 million. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So who gives a shit which one plays and the other one sits on the bench? Who gives a shit? I said the same thing about Wainwright. If Wainwright can't get the job done, I know he makes 19.5, and Flaherty makes 500,000. So combined, they make $20 million. Who cares which one's in the bullpen and which one's starting? Well, let me tell you something, folks. Obviously, somebody cares because this is happening all over baseball. It's not just here. It is not
those
just
are
here.
The winning teams, though. When you're talking this way, Jimbo, those are the winning teams. Those are the guys who wins. The guys that you put out there and you say, okay, Matt is struggling. Let me sit him down for a few games. Let me see what I have on other guys. Let's see, Fowler's struggling. You don't want to sit him for the whole year because that's your guy, and nobody does that. I don't care who you are. Nobody does things like that. So, but let me sit him for 2 days, and maybe he can get his mindset. If he doesn't, he's just having a hard time. He's just having a bad year. Things like that, but whoever wins games, think about it and go back and look at the winning teams. They have guys struggling, but they at some point change them out, you know, and try to say, okay, what the heck, man? We got to make this move right here. Whoever it is, you know, in this case, we're talking about Carp. Let me get him out for a few days. And they did, though, right?
Yeah.
They sent him down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And now if he doesn't hit, then you look for another spot to do the same. But then at what point do we want to win this thing? At what point Jerko is hitting 400 and Carp is hitting 1-something? And at what point Wong is hitting 200? And at what point Greg Garcia is hitting 400? And at what point do we make that change? At what point Bader's hitting 400? And at what point Fowler is hitting a little less? You know, what do we do? That's what they need to figure it out, you know?
It's hard. I don't envy them. I know this. It's not an easy thing to do is to take guys that have signed contracts, have been good for you in the past, and just discard them. And it's a hard thing.
It won't happen. Don't get used to. Carp is going to play. Fowler is going to play. Now, Wong, I don't know how they see Wong, but at least those two guys are going to be there, man. I'm telling you. No matter how much struggle they have, they're going to put him in. That's it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, I mean, believe me, I know the sky's falling when they lose three in a row to Pittsburgh and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even want to get into them getting dominated again by a guy making his major league debut that you've never heard of. You know, it is what it is. Again, I'll be curious to see where we go from here. We're going to get the Chicago teams in town this weekend. We've got the Chicago White Sox coming in for two. Chicago White Sox are kind of in that rebuild mode.
They have players.
They do have players. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about
they
it.
Have, they have ball players.
Yes, they do.
They can rake. They can run. They can pitch. They can do anything. And they will give you hell if you don't pay attention to what you're doing here. So it's not getting any easier.
Well, what I hope is that we aren't looking ahead because the Cubs come to town this weekend. We'll be excited about that. We want to remind everybody, don't forget, we are live at Patio's, and the special announcement on this is this Friday it will be at 4 o'clock, not noon. We're going to do it at 4 in an effort to be down there, give our listeners and all the Cardinal fans a little bit more of an opportunity to be a part of the show, considering that, you know, it's hard to come down at noon and then come back for a 7 o'clock start. We know people start rolling in down there, and they can make an afternoon of it. So we're going to go at 4 o'clock. We'll be giving away some autographed Yadier Molina and Benji Molina items, as well as this is the week that we give away the green seats. four green seats to a later date that you'll be able to plan and really enjoy it with your family or friends, however you're going to do it. So you're going to need to be present to register for those things. So make sure you guys join us. Again, that's this Friday at Patio's, 4 o'clock. Come down, meet Benji Molina, 4 to 5 o'clock. We'll be doing our show Facebook Live, trying to get fans involved in the show, giving away the items, and again, just generally just trying to have a good time with our audience and listening members. So special thanks again to Patio's as they continue to be our studio sponsor. One last time, I want to thank InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy and Stephanie Green. They do a tremendous job. We appreciate everything they do. Don't forget now they have the plumbing arm underneath that umbrella. So whether it's construction, heating and cooling, electric, or plumbing, InnovativeCompanies.com is the name you need to know and trust. That's Randy and Stephanie Green, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and as I always say, most importantly, a man of his word. If he tells you he's going to do something, he will do it. So save yourself time, energy, and most importantly, money. Get Randy Green involved from the beginning, as the planning process of this is the most important, and if you get him involved, you're going to be happy that you did. I mentioned Arlington Greens earlier. The weather's beautiful. Get out there and tell our man Mark Marcuso that we sent you down. Again, the greens were fantastic when the weather wasn't great. I can only imagine how nice it is out there today. I may have to try to sneak out there this week in the middle of the week. We're going to get up to 80 degrees, I think, Wednesday. That might be a hooky day for me. And go down and see my man Mark Marcuso, have a beverage, play a little golf. I know Mark's always up for a cigar and some golf. So, again, Arlington Greens. You won't be disappointed. Thanks to Adam Smokehouse for their continued support of the show. We're looking forward to getting there. Hopefully we can make some time this weekend while Benji's in town and get over there and have some lunch, dinner, whatever it may be. Check it out. I know I'm excited about trying some burnt ends. And, man, everything on the menu looks fantastic. I have to have ribs. That's the thing. But I think we're going to try a little bit of everything. LineupMedia.fm, thank you for all your continued support. Make sure you check out Yo Radio. Once again, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping through Amazon. We'd appreciate it. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. The big ask, though, Two Birds on a Bat. Type that in the search bar on Facebook. Like the page. Start inviting your friends. You're going to have the opportunity to win a Marcelo Zuna jersey based on how many of your friends like Two Birds on a Bat, the Facebook page. You can find our Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. If you want to join, we'll make sure you're a Cardinal fan. You're more than welcome to be a part of it. Speaking of Facebook, the growth of our show, we couldn't do it without all the great people that have been involved with us since the beginning. It starts with Nate McHenry over at RallySquirrel.com. He's done such a great job helping us promote our show. Asked us to be a part of his Rally Squirrel Club. We're very proud to do so. The premium content, the contest, everything that he does is awesome. We're happy to be there. And again, if you want to learn more about RallySquirrel.com, where they're actually giving away an autographed Yachty jersey over there, you're going to want to check out RallySquirrel.com right now. It's your opportunity to join the club, and again, for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Arch City Media, thank you for all you do, Mick Light, and of course, Josh Potter over here, our good friend, the Ballpark Beef on Twitter. We're happy to have him be a part of the show and bring an everyday look as he kind of is that pseudo-everything guy around here. He can look up numbers. He's happy to do all the stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff for us, so we're glad Josh has become a part of the show as well. Again, the Facebook groups are amazing. Team of Rivals podcast, thank you so much for all you do. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. Cardinals Nation, my man, Chris Lawless, thank you for everything. We love what you do. Cardinals 24/7, you do an awesome job. I hope things are going well with you and your fiance. I try to keep up with you guys. I know, her health scare, I believe it was a year ago. Hopefully things just continue to improve. And always looking out for you, my man, as you do just such a tremendous job getting Cardinal fans involved. Fans of Yachty or Molina is one of the great Facebook groups that we really enjoy. Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation's a good one. St. Louis Cardinals Crew, that's a good one. Cardinals, I like that one as well. True Cardinal fans. Let me tell you something, guys. Just Google it. Put it in the search bar. There are great, great, great Facebook pages out there. Contact us if you run a Facebook page and you'd like to come on and highlight yours. We'd love to have you on. Contact us. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Look for our contest, folks. They're coming out soon. For everybody here at lineupmedia.fm, my producer Brian Crock and Andrew Allen, I'm your host Jim Cromer. I leave you with a Let's Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.